If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning. We're going to read from Psalm 19 this morning. Psalm 19. We're going to read three verses, verse 1, 2, and 3 this morning. I'll read out loud as you read along silently. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3 this morning. As our custom is, in honor of the Word of God, if you're able, of course, would you please stand to your feet? If you're not able, please stay seated, and that's not a problem. But those of us that can, if we would honor the Word of God as we read it this morning. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning, the opportunity we have to hear it preached. As our pastor comes, use him this morning, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power so that we can get you, Holy Spirit, in our lives to do what we need to do from what he preaches today. Work mightily in our midst today, here in this room, on the internet. God, I just pray a great work would be done today from your preaching of your word. And Lord, last but not least, if there's someone in this room or on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, notice verse 1 in our text today, please. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens, multiple, plurality. The heavens declare the glory of God. You understand that there are three heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. First of all, there's the heaven of the air that we breathe, the atmosphere. Then there is the heaven where the planets and the galaxies exist. And thirdly, there is the heaven of the place where God is, where his angels are, and where our saints, our loved ones are there. That's why the Bible speaks of the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. You mean which one? Yes, all three. But now notice, please, in this same passage it says, and keeping your Bible open there, please, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not. The heavens declare to us. The heavens make a speech. The heavens are trying to teach us something this morning. So the message is this. Are you listening to heaven today? The heavens, speaking of the air that you breathe. Hey, listen. That is not an accident. That's not just the byproduct of green plants. God created the heaven and the earth, the Bible says. That means this. Now listen. That means, listen here. The very air that we breathe comes from God. The very breath in our body comes from God. That tells us something. That tells us, listen to me, every time you draw a breath, every time you draw a breath, it should remind you that your God made the very breath in your body. And our breath, our life, is in his hands. Book of James says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Isn't it amazing how we grew up so fast? Well, some of us did. Like I said, I know guys in their 50s are still going through the terrible twos. But other than that one, I mean, isn't it amazing how quick life has progressed? I don't know how many actual breaths you take a day. I can guarantee you there are literally hundreds of them. Do you ever draw a breath? Consider that God put the air for you to breathe there. Put breath in your body to breathe that air. and that your life is in his hands just like that. Something we do, I'm afraid, that we, if we're not careful, we take for granted the very breath we have. We take for granted the very moments of our lives that God gives us. See, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, we breathe and we go on. No, excuse me. He created the heavens and the earth. God created air for us to breathe to tell us that your life is given you by your God. Now, my question then is this to you. What are you doing with the life he's given you? Is it his or is it yours? The next breath that you take, is it taken so you can do something with the life he's given you? Or is it just taken because it's just life and that's what we do and we just breathe and move on? I've watched many of our dear people with different types of conditions with their lungs. We had a man in our church many years ago, smoked a great deal, got emphysema from it. If you know anything about emphysema, you know that emphysema is a condition created by tobacco that you inhale, or marijuana, either one, by the way. And it eventually robs you of the elasticity of your lungs, and your lungs will not contract when you exhale. You can breathe in, but you can't hardly exhale. Many years ago, he had learned about an experimental surgery where they took half of your lungs out to decrease the capacity to help you to breathe. And it worked for a while. And then they told him that was a failed experiment. I watched that man slowly suffocate to death over many years. Whenever I take a breath, I think about our folks with conditions of their lungs that create issues for them to breathe. See, well, Pastor Johnson, we just breathe. No. Look at me. No, the heavens declare the glory of God. They tell us something. That very breath in our body is given us by our God. And so that breath that he gave me, that the ability to take in oxygen and put out dioxide, the ability to transfer and get things out of my body that don't need to be in there and get in there what needs to be in there is the body God gave me, the breath he gave me, the life he gave me, the air I breathe that belongs to God. That's why it's so wrong to take the next breath not knowing you're saved. And not knowing that you're right with God. Otherwise, maybe the day will come when that breath will not come. Rather than try to intimidate you with the thought of death, could I just ask you this morning to let the very air you breathe teach you that your life is not your own, you're bought with a price. So, well, I'm not even a Christian, so I don't have to worry about it, Pastor Johnson. Well, then you should settle that. You should get that nailed down in your life. And realize this then, my friend, if you happen to be here today and have never settled this matter of salvation in your life, he has still given you breath to get to this place to trust Christ. He put every breath in your body. He put the air around you to breathe. He gave you this opportunity to settle this thing about your salvation. He wants you to come to him and nail that thing down and know for certain that you have eternal life. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Then there's the air of God's creation and the planets and the universe. Yes, last night, I had a few minutes and stepped outside late last night and looked up at the starry sky. Have you ever been in a place where there are no lights to dim the creation of God's stars? Years ago, we went on a trip. We took our father-son camping trip. See, why don't we do those anymore, Pastor Johnson? Because I hate camping. I hate camping. Sleeping on the ground? What are you, an animal? I hate camping. Motorhome? Good. Camping? Bad. Roughing it is a $200,000 motorhome with a broken microwave oven. That's roughing it, okay? Camping? Stupid. Pay all that money to put a roof over your head and then go lay on the ground for fun. That does not make sense to me. It did when I was younger. I've grown up. I'm smarter now. Anyway, we went on a camping trip, father-son camping trip. Went up to Hayfork up here. Brother Moravio took rappelling gear. Brother Evans was there. Rappelling gear to go and rappel. May I say that camping is not as stupid as tying a rope around yourself and jumping off a cliff. That's even more stupid than sleeping on the ground. You see what happens when you go sleep on the ground? You lose your mind. You tie a rope around yourself and you jump off a 100-foot cliff. Oh, that was fun. No, that was stupid. So we're rappelling up here in Hayfork, and we found us a place to camp. And we lay there at night under a dark, starry night. And one of the guys had a book with him that showed you the constellations and what time of the year they would be in a certain place in the sky. And we lay there that night and looked up at the constellations and picked them out, you know, the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, the Ain't No Dipper, and all the other ones, and all that other stuff. And we were looking at these stars, and it was just amazing. Now, I'll tell you something. You say, well, Pastor, you see, you don't get to see that if you don't go camping. You got PBS, watch TV. The truth is, you look up at that and you go, isn't that amazing? Hey, isn't that incredible? That full, lustrous moon out there, and the starry hosts that are there, and how man today has still not discovered the expanse of the universe that's out there today. Doesn't it not amaze you? Doesn't it just amaze you to think that all of that was a Big Bang accident? It just happened. All of a sudden, one day, there was nothing, and it turned into something. That's the short version of evolution. And it's about as stupid as that, too. No, the Bible tells us he put the stars in their courses. Cast them out, and in a moment, he said, let there be, and there was. And man, 6,000 plus years later, not 200 trillion years later, 6,000 years later, is just starting to figure out that the expanse of the universe is still not known. And they say, yeah, but see, it had to evolve because now we see light coming after thousands upon tens of thousands of years. And that couldn't have been created in a moment. Yeah, God can make light that moves. God can put light in its place. God did this. What you see, that universe, ladies and gentlemen, that starry host of the night tells you about the glory of an almighty, omnipotent, all-creative, all-powerful God. What a shame to denigrate that to a big accident. You're missing something, friend. I stepped out this morning to pick up the newspaper. It was dark outside, beautiful. I was still griping about the hour I lost. And I looked up at that dark night, and I saw the stars, and I said, oh, the heavens declare the glory of God. That heaven, the expanse of the universe, his planets, the expanse of our galaxy, that tells us something about our God. You got a powerful God, my friend, who could in one moment say, let there be, and there was. Powerful. Don't take that away from him. See, you take that away from him and you got people who have only hope in themselves. They only have hope in their government. They only have hope in their friends. They only have hope in their family. They only have hope in their lives. They don't have a hope in a God who is so powerful he could say it and it was. And it still is. And man is still starting to figure it out. Just starting to get the idea of it. Oh, how sad. How sad. Stephen Hawking is considered the brilliant man of our day. Hawking many years ago believed that there could be a creator. Now recently he's gotten so smart there isn't a need for God at all. Now he's a philosophical physicist. Got all kinds of degrees after his name. Poor man's body and the condition in which he lives, that his mind is so functional, is amazing in and of itself. You think that would teach him to not make such a foolish statement as there's really no need for God. Sad, there still are people who say, well, he's brilliant. He doesn't believe in God. Doesn't make you smart, friend. Doesn't make you smart to look out at the expanse of God's creation and say, oops, there's nothing there that made that. That just took place. No, no, no. That tells us there's an almighty God. That tells us there's an all-powerful God. That tells us there's a great creator. Hey, those planets, the moon, the stars, everything, how it spins in their courses and revolves in an exactly a correct manner for life to exist on this planet, but no other planet, life like we know it. Now you say, do you think there's intelligent life on other planets? What's the answer? I'm not sure there's intelligent life on this planet. Definitely not in Washington, D.C. or Sacramento. But the truth of the matter is, you know what it does? It's amazing when you stop to think that all of that, ladies and gentlemen, all of that exists in its perfection and its place and its situation, and it just, God put it exactly where he wanted it. He put this rock here, my friend, for us to come and live upon this earth. See, the heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You know what that tells us? That tells us that those dear people who are raised in heathen places and cultures where there is no God that they're taught about, they can look up and see there's something going on here. This is bigger than that rock I worship. It's bigger than that stump I'm bowing down to. This tells me, the creation, the expanse of creation tells me there must be an almighty God. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that. We're studying that in our Romans study on Wednesday nights. Ladies and gentlemen, every language hears the voice of this creative work of God's expanse of the heavens that hold the planet and the universe. Hey, question, hey? So you look up at that starry night and you say, but I don't think God could help me. Huh? You look up at the expanse of God's creation in this universe and say, but I don't know if God can fix the problem of my life, if God can help me in what I do. Hey, friend, if he could do that, he could fix this. He can help me. And you must know how much he wants to. I hope you do. That's the problem of this. Spending all my life like Solomon was in the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun. Spend his whole life under the sun. In other words, just living like this is the life and this is what I have and this is the way I live and this is what I do. Oh no, my friend. No, lift up your eyes and look on the mighty work of God and see his mighty hand of creation and know that he put that there not only for me to notice and to see, but to teach me he's a God bigger than any problem that I face, greater than any expanse of any trouble I have in my life. There's my God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Oh, it teaches us. It teaches us that there's a God in heaven. And that he's there to be worshipped, not the planets. That he, listen, that he guides the course of my life. It's not because you're a Pisces. It's not because you're a Virgo. Not because you go to Swami Salami, all you guys in the army, all you guys off the grass. Somebody tell you, read your palm, and that's how your palm tells you. You know what that palm tells me right there? Chicken wings. That's what that palm tells me. I got a chicken wing Jones going so bad, I'm going to chicken wings today. God bless me. You pray for me if you want to donate to the cause. I have a GoFundMe fund. And the truth is, you know what that hand tells me right there? That hand tells me it's empty and needs a chicken wing. That's what that hand tells me right there. And a pile of macaroni salad and a Diet Coke. Can I get a witness on the Diet Coke, for goodness sakes? All right, good. You Pepsi drinkers, get right with God. The truth of the matter is, dear people, here's the deal. Hey, the planets do not control my life. He does. The one who made the planets is the one who guides our lives. You know what? Young man, stop that. Hey, kid, quit yawning out like that. That's rude. Knock it off. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? He didn't put those planets out there to be worshipped. He put those planets out there to teach me to worship the one who made the planets. The heavens give a speech. Yes, they do. Wait a minute. There's another heaven. Apostle Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2. He spoke about a man who went to the third heaven. You know who that guy was, by the way? That was the Apostle Paul. Stoned to death outside the city of Lystra, threw him on a garbage dump like a dead man. And God raised him up. Between that moment he was stoned to death, lay on the garbage dump, and God raised him up. Paul said, I got to go to heaven. By the way, when he came back to tell us about it, he didn't sell tickets. And he didn't sell books. And he'd get a bunch of people together and say, here's what I saw when I went to heaven. Those people who do that are charlatans. Do you understand that? If Paul came back and said, I was not allowed to talk about it, they weren't either. That's free. The truth is, he went up to the third heaven. You know where he went? He went to that paradise of God. See, the heaven that exists now is not the heaven that we're all looking for one day. The heaven that exists now, Revelation 21:1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. There is a heaven now. It's called a paradise of God. Luke chapter 16, the rich man Lazarus. Lazarus the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom in the paradise of God. This place that's called heaven now where people go, believe me, it's not a loner, it's not secondary. It's very nice. We don't know a lot about it because it's not permanent. It's where God is now. It's where his angelic host is with him. And it's where every saved loved one we've had has gone to that place of paradise of God. That's where all these little babies go. We got grandkids over there we have yet to see. Paradise of God. But the second heaven, the one that everybody knows more about than others, because Revelation 21 and 22 tell us a great deal about this heaven. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. See, that heaven, nobody's in there yet because it's not finished. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. That's that city four square, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep. 216-foot thick wall of jasper that goes all the way around that 6,000 miles with gates, two in each of the four gates. You see each of the four walls. If in proportion to those walls, they're 100 miles wide and 216 feet thick, and each gate is made, Bible says, from a single pearl. You should have seen the oysters. And Jesus is preparing that one for us. So what do we have? We have the paradise of God, look here, now in heaven. And we have the heaven that will be one day. God made everything in six 24-hour periods. Can you imagine what heaven will look like when Jesus has had over 2,000 years to work on it? Yes. Oh, by the way, the heaven where God is and the angels are and where our loved ones are and all those little ones that are there, that tells us something too. It means God has prepared a place for us to go and to be with him one day. When Jesus said, there I am, where I am, there you may be also. All you heaven on earth people, would you get that passage very clear in your mind in John 14? Heaven is not here on earth. Now the chicken shack this afternoon is going to get really close when I get me a load of chicken wings. But other than that, it's not. See, once you get off that, Pastor Johnson, why don't you leave me alone so I can finish the sermon and go get some chicken wings, okay? The truth of the matter is there's a lot of stuff on this earth that's very nice, very pretty, very lovely, and I enjoy that. It's very heaven-like. The Bible speaks of heaven, heavenly places on earth. Okay, I get that. But that's not the heaven that we'll be. Oh, no. See, he has prepared a place, the paradise where our loved ones are all. Those folks that were, believe me, when someone dies and they go to that paradise, they're not standing around going, oh, what is this all about? Oh, believe me, they're still enjoying the blessing and the presence of God. And they're enjoying a wonderful place where there's no sin and no sorrow. It's an amazing thing. That tells us something. God is preparing a place for us. You realize that if you are a child of God this morning, your name is written in heaven? Does that mean we got name plaques on those things where we're going to go someday? I don't know. I know there's a book of life in heaven and our name is recorded in that book. And wonderful news, there are no erasers. He's not going to take your name out of that. Once it's in, it's in. You're good. Hey, look at me, once you're saved, your name is written in heaven, and he's prepared this place for you to come and join him. He teaches many things that God's prepared a place for us to be with him. It teaches us this heaven where God is, that God has prepared a place for one of our departed loved ones. We said a parting goodbye here. That was all parting, not permanent. Okay? We experience the suffering of loss on this side of life, yes. We miss them, don't we? Yeah, we do. For our own selfishness, we want them here. It's not a bad selfishness. It's just desire to want to be with them and wish they were here with us. Of course we do. Oh, but wait a minute. Have you ever said somebody say, well, I'm sorry you lost a loved one. You only lose something when you don't know where it is. We know where they are. We know exactly where they are. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Your body doesn't go to the grave and rotten and you're down there in a box somewhere in a hole in the ground. No, that's not it. That's not how it works. The moment they drew their last breath in this life, they drew their next breath in glory with God in heaven. He's prepared a place for them. Well, Pastor, I just wish they hadn't died. I do too. I wish they would have stayed in good health in this life and been with us. How wonderful that would be. But I've watched them wither with cancer, and I've watched them go through horrible things in their life. That man had his lungs cut in half. I watched him as he slowly just began to suffocate with the emphysema that he had. It wasn't overnight. It took a long period of time. I watched that, but I also was there when he passed. And I walked into his room, and there he lay in his bed. No, he didn't. His body lay in his bed. He checked out and went home to God, and everything's all right now. He crossed over. His name was Joe. You ever asked Joe how he was doing? He said, "You tell everybody you know I'm wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. You tell everybody you know." Heaven tells us a lot of things. Heaven is a place where God resolves all the matters of this life. They're all done when you get to heaven. And not because you're going to go around heaven going, "Well, how come this happened to me? And why did that happen to me? And what's this all about?" Some of you folks, you really think answers to the questions of life make it right. All you get is answers. You don't get anything else. Nothing. But I tell you what, when you get to heaven, the Bible says God is going to wipe all that stuff, former things away, and there aren't any questions in heaven. Nobody's going to walk around heaven with a long list of asking God, "What is this all about? How come that happened to me? Why didn't that happen to me? What are you all about? Why did you do this to me?" You can imagine what heaven would be like for God, much less the rest of us have to live with everybody else whine while we wait in line to get our turn to whine. Can't you imagine how awful that would be? Wouldn't it just be better if he just took us to heaven, and when we got to heaven, God just wiped the thing clean, and everything's okay now. It's all bright and sunny and all good. You say, "Well, I want that here." Now, if you think with me for a moment, what you're saying is, if God can answer all your questions and make everything right for you here, it's only going to last as long as you live. That's it. So you're 25 years old, healthy, strong. All your problems go away. You got no more troubles. And you walk across the street and get run over by a beer truck. Do you realize what just happened? The best of it was just left behind you. However, you go to heaven and he wipes it clean and you're there forever. Sounds a little better to me, doesn't it? We'll just go through the stuff we have to go through. This stuff. You know what stuff is, right? We'll go through the stuff of what we go through down here. Okay, it'll be this life, but that's as far as it's going to go. Because the moment I draw my last breath here, or Jesus comes to get me, it starts to be really good after that. And by the way, it ain't really bad right now. I don't have a lot of answers, but I have a God who has the answers. I don't know everything, but I know God knows everything. And everything's going to be okay, and he'll straighten it all out. See, heaven's telling me, "Come on, son, don't worry about it. The day will come when I'll wipe it all slate clean. Everything will be gone. People won't remember what you did to them, and you won't remember what they did to you, and it'll all be good." I was preaching on heaven years ago in one of our old buildings, and a couple was visiting their family. The Van Dykes, Don and Mary Van Dyke. This couple was visiting. It was his sister, I forget now. They were steeped in a religion of works. And I preached on heaven that morning, and they came forward to receive Christ as their Savior. And afterwards I said, "So glad you got saved today." I said, "Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you what moved you to make that decision today?" And here's what they said. They said, "You made heaven sound so good, we just didn't want to miss it." I said, "Well, I'm glad for that." By the way, they went back home to Nebraska and got out of that religion of works and got in a Bible preaching, gospel preaching church. Because see, heaven someday should encourage me to live for him today. Not to go to heaven, but just because you know where you're going. You know what people do? They go to Hawaii. And they go to tanning booths. You didn't do that. They go to tanning booths to go to Hawaii so you don't show up with them nasty looking white legs and look like the Michelin man when you show up in Hawaii. So they go to tanning booths to look like they've been to Hawaii to go to Hawaii. They buy Hawaiian shirts they wouldn't wear anywhere but in Hawaii. They do all this preparation because they know they're going to Hawaii. Application. You're going to heaven? What do you want me to do, Pastor? Wear a white robe and get wings? Learn how to play the harp? How about this one? How about, well, if it's heaven tomorrow, then I suppose my day should be, I don't know, maybe I could be slightly encouraged. Not a lot, now don't get crazy. But slightly encouraged by the fact that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This is not where I live. This is my town. This is my place. This is where I live. This is where I hope to spend the rest of my days and die in this place. But this is not home. Heaven is home. An older couple were coming back from 50 years on the mission field in Africa in the old days when they came in on ships. And as they approached the dock in New York, they began to hear a band play. Hundreds of people there. Big banners unfurled, said, "Welcome home from Africa." And the old saints leaned on each other on the rail of the ship, and they looked out and they thought, "Wow, for us, we didn't even know anyone knew we were coming home." And they kind of encouraged their hearts to think they had a band playing, they had banners. "Welcome home from Africa." As the ship docked, plank came down. Theodore Roosevelt got off the ship. He'd been in Africa on a safari, and it was all for him. And he made speeches. The guy would speak 2 or 3 hours at a time. And they stood on the railing and they waited. And after he was done, the band disappeared. The banners came down. People went home. They had to find somebody to help them get their luggage off the ship. And the old saintly father, man, turned to his wife. He said, "I have to tell you, honey, I'm a little disappointed. I thought at least someone could be here to greet us when we came home." And she looked at him and said, "Well, honey, we're still not home yet." Are you home? That doesn't mean this life's not good. Doesn't mean we're not blessed. But are you home? Nah, this world is not my home. Heaven reminds me there is a place far better than you and I could imagine that awaits us. And God has prepared that place for us. And he's prepared that place where our loved ones will be there. Could you imagine the reunion that you'll have? And the time that you'll enjoy. And then to get to see God and Jesus. And to walk the streets of heaven. And to be there. And then when the day comes that the new heaven is brought forth, we'll find our place there. Can you imagine all of that? Can you imagine why God's people are discouraged about what? Well, it's because of the stuff I'm going through in my life, Pastor John. Said, God bless you. God bless you. I know that, but I also know this. If he's going to give me the best I'm ever going to have in life in heaven, I'll take that. I'll take that. Everything we have in life here that has joy has some degree of sorrow tainted with it, doesn't it? The best moment in your life isn't going to last forever. Your relatives come to visit you and thank God they'll go home. The truth is, it's all temporary. But not heaven. So I guess God knew best, didn't he? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice has not heard. Are you hearing? Are you listening to heaven? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.